Welcome, members. The Committee on Elections will come to order. There are several things that we need to address here before our regular 2 o'clock adjournment, and we're going to keep to that. The first bill today is one that we need to pass today, and it needs to be heard on the floor very soon because of some timing issues. This represents some basically peace in the valley. And Representative Dill, as you're walking up, and I'll move your bill, I'll move that Senate File 629 be recommended to pass. Strike that. I move that Senate File 629 be re-referred to the General Register. That is my motion. That Senate File 629 be re-referred to the General Register. Before we get to the bill, though, I just want to, just a couple items of committee business. We have a couple of new faces here today. I just want to introduce them and have them very briefly introduce themselves, maybe where they're from. The first is Molly Richardson, who is the new DFL researcher assigned to this committee. Molly, if you just want to say a couple words, where you're from, et cetera.
Originally from Minnesota, I've been practicing law in New Jersey for the last 5 years, and now I'm happy to be back in Minnesota.
Welcome, Ms. Richardson. And then we have a new committee page, Fu Lee. Mr. Lee, you want to just introduce yourself and say a couple words about where you're from?
I'm a recent graduate of Carleton College, and now I'm residing in
Minnesota. Welcome, Mr. Lee. Now to the bill. We've already moved the bill. Representative Dill, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I have nothing to say about the bill unless someone has some questions. The bill, the original House bill went off the floor, went to the Senate. They did some changes which were adequate for us, sent it back to us. It sat there. We didn't get to it. I was actually on bended knee begging to get it done at the last minutes of session, as you will recall, Chairman Simon, and we just didn't get to it. The bill is nothing different than we had sent back to us from the Senate, and I think there was we had more than adequate votes to pass it.
Right, and members, just as a reminder, thank you, Mr. Gelbman. And this was actually passed already. You already voted on this as part of the omnibus bill, which received widespread bipartisan support. I think we have peace here. There will always be a few dissenters, but broadly we have peace. Representative Sawatsky.
Hi. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Mary Sawatsky, and I represent District 17B, which is Candiwai County, and we are one of the counties that this is most important for them to be heard and have this pass. And it is with just to review that it is our Area Lakes Chamber, which represents over 600 businesses and professional members, do approve this and are anxious to see this go forward, and so would appreciate and thank you for this timely matter.
Thank you, Representative Swatsky. Representative Dill.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. As well in the room is Representative Gunther from Fairmont, and he is equally as interested in, so this is a very strongly supported bipartisan bill. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And members, the urgency here is, as you can imagine, for this to take effect for this year's elections in 2014. Because of some math and timing issues, this really has to be passed, like, really quickly and enacted into law. So are there any member comments, questions, concerns? Okay. Yes, Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dill, one question I have, if the citizens of those communities are opposed to this, is there a mechanism for them to revert back to an elected positions for these? And if so, what is that? And what is the timing for that before this next election cycle?
Representative Dill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Johnson, yes. First off, the county has to do a lot of public process before it. The bill actually opens a dialogue for the county to do a public process, requiring posting and public meeting hearing. And then the county then can decide after that to either not do it or do it. And if they do it, and then enough of the citizens petition for a reverse referendum, which I recall takes, from my city days, 5% of the electorate would be in that county, they then could have a reverse referendum. It would be on the ballot for approval by the voters of that jurisdiction, which in this case are counties.
Representative Birdall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Dill, or whoever may know the answer to this question, do you have any idea how many counties currently allow a point of offices, or do we have a percentage? Is it half of our counties or anything?
Ms. Chairman and Representative Erdahl, yes, I believe it's 17 presently, and it represents about 78% of the population in the state of Minnesota that currently have this authorization. This would add, as I recall from last year, 5 additional counties.
Representative Erdahl.
That's all. Thank you.
Any other member comments, questions, concerns? Representative Swatsky.
Chair, and also to thank you. In our community, they have vetted this and have shown this issue on our local television station, and they have had absolutely no feedback or people of dissent not liking this. So it has been vetted quite a lot locally in our community.
Chairman. Representative Dill.
Well, I want to just add to that. This is getting longer than I thought it would be, but I do not believe that in Lake County, one of the counties of several that I represent, that there is unilateral agreement on this. But it's been the number of inquiries that I've had over the course of the summer, as there's been publicity on the bill, have been zero. And so what I have recommended to the people who call me that had discord with the county board over this, that they reach out to their local county board member and discuss it. And unless something else comes up, I've had, since I made those recommendations, I've had no contact from a single constituent in the county that this bill would actually affect.
Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dill, right now we have a process for reverting to that where it allows the voters to actually vote on whether to do this or not. A lot of things in this bill requires the same process except for the actual election. For me, I have a tough time taking a voter's rights to vote away. That's why I cannot support any of this special legislation to do that. In fact, one of the counties I represent would like me to sponsor a bill, but because I cannot take a voter's right away, I cannot do that. Because, like I say, there is a process to do this and allow the voters to decide. And I think that is more important.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you. Also, the Jackson County that I represent has a history of wanting to combine things to save money. There is one law enforcement department in the whole county. There's one school district in the whole county. They save money wherever they can. Even though they are the home of the largest tractor manufacturer in the world, they want to save as much money as they can and be as efficient as they can and offer the best services they can. They think they can do that by combining these things. So they are anxious to have that happen.
Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I understand that. In my own county, they did do that. They combined the auditor and treasurer, but they did that by the vote and let the people decide. And it passed by a large margin.
Any other comments from members? Okay, if not, I'll renew my motion that Senate File 629 be re-referred to the General Register. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no?
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Dill, Representative Swatsky, Representative Gunther. Next item up is House File 1960, Representative Halverson. Representative Halverson moves that House File 1960 be re-referred to the General Register. Representative Halverson, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This, as you all can see, is a pretty, I shouldn't jinx it, it's a simple bill. But basically what we are looking at is just amending the final date for which counties may make purchases under the Help America Vote Act grants that were made back after December 2010. There are more than a dozen counties that actually still have grant money to spend. They are in a situation where their equipment is reaching the end of its life, and rather than have them go out and buy new equipment, if for some reason we as a legislature take action on electronic poll books or any other kind of equipment change, we would essentially have them go out and buy new equipment yet again. So this just gives them two more years to allow for some flexibility, recognizing the fact that as a legislature we are looking at additional opportunities to access technology for voting. And with that, I can ask Mr. Manske to comment.
Welcome, Mr. Manske. If you just introduce yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Joe Manske. I'm from the Ramsey County Election Office. And just very briefly, all we're looking to do here is get more competition. We want more vendors to have more voting equipment available for us to buy. Currently, there are no fully certified, completely comprehensive voting systems available for our purchase. By having a couple more years, we expect to get at least three vendors available who will have voting equipment that that we can get them to submit bids for. So hopefully by getting a little more time, we can get the free market to work for us.
Any comments or questions from members? Okay. Anyone in the audience who wishes to testify on this bill? Okay. Seeing no further comments, Representative Halverson renews her motion that House File 1960 be re-referred to the General Register. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Halverson and Mr. Manske. Next bill for consideration is House File 1841, Representative Freiberg. As you're walking down, I will move that House File 1841 be re-referred to the General Register. Representative Freiberg, welcome to the committee. Just introduce yourself, please.
Sure. Thank you, Chair Simon and members of the committee. I'm Mike Freiberg, representative from District 45B. This bill relates to an issue that I became aware of during the 2008 U.S. Senate recount. I was kind of shocked watching some of the proceedings of the canvassing board that they were essentially throwing out ballots when people had signed their name on the ballot. And I assume the people who signed their names on the ballot did it with decent motives. They probably just thought that a ballot is an official document and they should sign it. There was no suggestion by the canvassing board that they had any sort of improper motive, and to my knowledge, there were no subsequent prosecutions of those people. So essentially, people were being disenfranchised for making good faith error. And beyond, in my mind, how bad it is to disenfranchise people, it seems unfortunate not to count every ballot in such a close race as that race ended up being. And I just want to mention, too, I didn't notice that these ballots tended to favor one side over the other. I did something of a research project at that time on the rules and statutes related to identifying marks. And the policy of throwing out ballots containing identifying marks was created by the Minnesota Supreme Court in an 1895 decision. So it was created judicially and not by the legislature, although the legislature subsequently codified it in 1959. But even that 1895 Minnesota court decision was not unanimous. The policy against counting ballots with identifying marks was created under the theory that an employer or wealthy person could buy a vote, and the voter would prove that they voted the way the employer wanted by signing the ballot. Justice Lauren Collins of the Minnesota Supreme Court dissented in that decision, arguing that a ballot marking scheme had never actually happened in Minnesota, and it stated that the court, and he stated that the court was anticipating an evil which may never exist. Maybe in 1895 there was some way ballots could be viewed by employers, although Justice Collins disagreed, but it seems even less likely now when ballots are fed into optical scan machines. So the situation now is that voters are being disenfranchised in close elections when, in my mind, votes should count the most, based on an infinitesimal or probably non-existent chance that they'd be involved in a very overly complicated ballot marking scheme. So this bill does two things. It repeals two statutes. One holds that ballots containing identifying marks should be thrown out, and the other criminalizes the act of marking a ballot. And I should add that there's another statute on the books in Minnesota, 211B.13, which prohibits vote buying, and the penalty is a felony, which is a more serious penalty than in the identifying mark statute. And this bill does nothing to change that statute, and if anybody is engaging in vote buying, regardless of whether or not identifying marks are involved, they can and should be prosecuted to the full extent of it. So in my mind, this bill would prevent the disenfranchisement of voters in close elections. Two other things, real briefly, before I'd happy to answer questions. I spoke with the Secretary of State's office about this last year, and they informed me that they do not oppose this proposal. And second, a bill to do the same thing was adopted by the legislature in Washington State in 2009, and it was approved unanimously. In my mind, this bill shouldn't be controversial, but I don't know if your subsequent testifier is here, so we'll see. But I'm happy to answer questions from the committee.
Questions or comments from committee members? Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Freiberg, on 111, the line that we're adding there says, subdivision does not prohibit marks made by a voter on the voter's own ballot. Curious, as I get that it's in the section of law, but I guess I'm looking for clarification. A, what's the definition of marks? And B, is that the actual voting mark? Could it be if you voted, if you marked your ballot a second time and voted for a second person? If all it says is does not prohibit marks made by the voter on the voter's own ballot, I don't know if there's something that specifically in this subdivision is pointing to something very specific, but that's kind of my question is, how do you define mark and how do we contain what that looks like?
Representative Freiberg.
In my mind, it would be any sort of mark, whether for purposes of identifying or not. I mean, people might write all sorts of things. I mean, we saw the ballot, we may remember the ballot from that year when somebody marked lizard people all over the ballot. So, we don't know what people do. In my mind, it shouldn't, even if they do put something on there, as long as they have no motive, no improper motive, it shouldn't result in their ballot being excluded, particularly in a close election. Yeah.
Representative Sanders.
So in this section, Mr. Chair, and Representative Freiberg, is it only talking about additional marks outside of the actual vote taking place? So how do we, the language that you're adding here is subdivision does not prohibit marks made by a voter on the voter's own ballot. So is that just an identifying mark that in some way we would think identifies the ballot? And if so, why didn't we use that phrase? Because my question is, how do we define a mark? Is that literally the mark that you use to vote? What if you vote for two people in the same category? Is that an additional mark? How are we certain with the actual language that's written here what your bill is intending to do?
Yeah, it's any sort of mark. If they did, as to use your hypothetical, if they did vote for two people, it would still be excluded as an overvote. At least as far as that race is concerned. So this, this section, as the caption says, it just deals with identifying marks. So, if there's some ambiguity about what that constitutes. Somebody could, Prince, for example, has used a symbol to identify his name at some point. So, that's not a word. It's not their name. It's not his name. But it's for purposes of identification. So by adding this language, and House Research could maybe confirm this too, but by adding this language, it just makes it clear if they do put a mark on there that has the potential to identify them, then the ballot won't be excluded. If they do violate some other provision, such as the provision saying, I think there is a separate provision in law saying that if you mark more than one spot next to a name, if there's only one office to be elected, then it is considered an overvote, and so it would still be excluded under that statute.
Members, any other comments or questions? Is there anyone here who wishes to be heard in the audience who wishes to be heard on this bill? Okay. Representative Freiberg, any final thoughts?
No, I appreciate the committee's time and. Okay. Representative Sanders' questions.
Well, members, seeing no further comments, I'll renew the motion that House File 1841 be re-referred to the General Register. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Members, we're ready now for the last bill. And as Representative Wilker was going up, Representative Bernardi, I see, has busily been looking at the minutes of March 19th. Can we do one motion for all of these?
I'd like to make a motion to pass those minutes.
Well, let's do the one for March 19th,
okay.
The 2013.
Okay, March 19th, 2013. I'd like to make a motion to pass those.
To approve the minutes.
To approve the minutes.
Thank you. Representative Bernardi moves to approve the minutes of March 19th, 2013. All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Representative Bernardi also moves that we approve the minutes of December 18th, 2013, which was a joint hearing, if you recall, with the Senate. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. And finally, Representative Bernardi moves that we approve the minutes of January 28th, 2014, which was just last month. It was an informational hearing, if you recall, on a couple different bills. All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Representative Winkler, would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 1986 be re-referred to the General Register.
Okay.
And since we're cutting down, I don't know why we couldn't just say referred. I don't know why we have to re-everything. But eventually, maybe we can just sort of give them numbers, you know, motion number one or something. Mr. Chair and members, House File 1986 is my introductory unsession bill. This undoes something we did last year, which I think was a mistake. We passed a bipartisan campaign finance reform bill that included a provision to weaken the gift ban that has been in place in Minnesota for a long time. And essentially, what we did was allow lobbyists to invite us all out for a free lunch or a free dinner or anything else that they would like to provide for us in the way of a free meal as long as they elect, as long as they invite the entire legislature. This was a provision introduced by Senator Senjum and included in the campaign finance bill at the insistence of the state Senate. I think already most of us are seeing the little change. It's subtle, but it's changing the culture here a little bit. When we get invitations, it no longer has a recommended dollar amount on the bottom. It simply says, come and eat our free meal and talk about our pet issue. And that's really the issue here, which is that while it may be true that everybody is invited, and you might say that can't influence one particular legislator, the problem is that it allows well-heeled interests to set the agenda here even more than they do already by being able to buy dinner for legislators to come and listen to their pitch on their particular issue without any putting any money in. And speaking with Gary Goldsmith from the Campaign Finance Board, in addition to this subtle culture shift taking place, there are people who are already trying to figure out how to game this to their advantage. The most common questions that come up are whether they can put these receptions in geographically, let's say, remote from the capital type locations, and whether they can require an RSVP, which means that you can set up a golf outing in a rural part of the state and invite the whole legislature, knowing that very few will show up. And by giving an RSVP, they don't even have to buy the green fees in advance or buy the lunches in advance or whatever the issue is. And so it's a way of getting around the spirit of this provision, which was a mistake to begin with. The counter argument often is that, well, if the legislature could only spend more time hanging out together, we'd all get along better and Republicans would start voting with Democrats more often and so forth. And I think that's a little bit naive. Frankly, not just the Republican part, but the idea that we're going to increase the comity and spirit of cooperation and bipartisanship at the legislature by allowing us to get a free lunch or a free meal. I don't think that's necessary. Sunday night I play hockey with a bunch of people who are legislators and lobbyists, both sides of the aisle, people in the administration. We have to throw $10 into Phyllis's helmet in order to get the ice time, and then some of us go to Skinner's in St. Paul afterwards, and we have to kick in another $10 for pizza and beer. It isn't the problem that we have to pay $20 for a night of hockey and spending some time at Skinner's. It has to be the willingness to do it. And so I don't really think there's any argument here that getting rid of this loophole that we created is somehow going to bring back this change that we've some who've been here for a long time would say was negative, but I don't think we're going to turn that back. And so I would urge members to support House File 1986. I think it was a mistake. I think it's a chance for the House to show that we believe in clean government and we think that special interests who bring a lot of money to influence us have enough influence already.
Thank you, Representative Winkler. Any comments, questions, concerns from members? Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Winkler, thanks for bringing this bill forward. I think it takes a strong legislator first day of the session to have a unsession idea from your bill last session. So thank you for bringing that forward. My question is, do you have, is there a Senate companion to this? Is this something agreed upon in the legislature that I'll be moving forward and we'll have the opportunity to vote on in the House?
Mr. Chair, Representative Sanders, I guarantee you you'll have an opportunity to vote on this in the House. As for the Senate, I'm not sure, but as you know, not everything that ends up in final bills has to get voted on in both bodies before they end up in a conference report or something else. So I anticipate this will be an issue we'll continue to push all session long.
All right. Thank you.
Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair and Representative Winkler, I just have a question on line 119. It says, where the recipient appears to make a speech or answer questions. Would the question, if the question was, would you like another drink, count as a answering a question?
Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, Representative Huntley, I think from what I understand, the answer is generally yes. So I don't know that that would really qualify if you already know the answer before you ask it.
Representative Driscoll. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering if members realize that the Tonight Show host position has been filled already by Mr. Fallon, and there's no need to audition in front of this committee.
We'll be the judge of that.
Any other member comments, questions, concerns? Is there anyone in the audience here today who wishes to be heard on this bill? Okay. Well, members, I think we'll just take a vote on the bill then. Representative Winkler renews his motion that House File 1986 be re-referred to the General Register. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Members, that's all we have for today. Thanks for your patience in this abbreviated hearing. We got done even earlier than our normal adjournment time despite a shortened session. So we'll be meeting again on Thursday.
Ryan.
Thanks, members. The meeting is adjourned.
I missed it.